Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
For this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from any from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And were they all of good cheer, and they took some meat. And they also took some meat. And we were in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not land, but they discovered, and noticed this, a certain creek with a shore unto which they minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And they had taken up the anchors and committed themselves to the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hosed up the mainsail and the wind and made toward shore. And falling into the place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part was stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. And commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. If you'd help me pray tonight. Heavenly Father, God, I come to you tonight, and Lord, I sure do need your touch. I desire, Lord God, to touch the Holy Ghost, Father, to help me preach. And honestly, Lord, I can't preach on my own. If you don't get involved, Lord, we really just need to pack up and go home. But Lord, you said the word of God won't return void. You said that by faith shall we please you. So tonight I'm just going to preach by faith. Lord, trust you to do like only you can do. God, if there is one lost, God, tonight, Lord, I pray that you get a hold of their heart. Lord, show them their need. Father, let them call upon your name, be born again. And God, tonight, if there's one struggling, God, wanting to backslide or get away, I pray you secure their heart. And maybe one tonight, Lord God, that just struggling, going through some things, and Father, you may want to help them. And I ask you, Lord, to put your hands upon it. Do like only you can do. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm probably going to build a big foundation, put a little house on it tonight. And I just want to give you some thoughts. Man, what a familiar text we deal with. Man, there's a lot that can be preached out of here. You can preach on the thought that you ought not to go against what the man of God says. Can I say, if they'd have listened to Paul to start with, they wouldn't be in the position they're in. And they're talking about just staying in the boat. And man, there's so much that could be preached out of this text. But I'm going to be honest with you, my heart and my burden tonight is for the church. I've not been in this long, and not been in it long at all, but I'm going to tell you what I'm figuring out. You're either going into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm. And friend, there's all time. If you're going to do something for God, there's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some things you have to face. And I used to use this example a lot, and I'll just use it again. But I played a lot of ball growing up. I look like a ball now, but I used to play ball. But now, as I went out to play ball, you know what never happened to me? Nobody, brother, come to the bench and guarded me when I was sitting on the bench. Nobody did. But I will tell you this, the time that the coach said, Hayes, get in there, and I checked in the game, somebody come play defense on me. See, I was no threat sitting on the bench. I couldn't play defense. I couldn't shoot it. I couldn't score. I really couldn't score anyway, but I could foul real good. Amen. But I couldn't do none of that on the bench. But see, I'll tell you what, when you checked in, what happens? You become a threat. You have opportunity to help the team. You have opportunity to do something. And if we apply that into the things of the church, can I say something to you? Hard times and shipwrecks and different things, that's really opportunity to do something for God. But let me be real honest with you if I can. It ain't always the easiest thing. It ain't always the most glorious thing. I can pick on Miss Jan, I hope. Boy, when I was thinking to take Southside Church, I don't know that I even told you this, but one of the things that really settled my soul is I said this, she said, what's your hesitation? And I said, well, she just called it out. Amen. I said, I'm going to tell you, Miss Jan, we just come out of a bad situation, and I watched my family get hurt, and I watched them get torn apart. I just don't want to go through that again. I don't want to get hurt. This is what she said. She said, son, or no, she didn't. She said this, Brother Ryan, while serving me tenderloin, that got to my heart. Amen. She said, Brother Ryan, I ain't going to tell you you're not going to get hurt. She said, matter of fact, you're going to get hurt. She said this, though. It's worth it. It's all worth it, just serving God. And boy, God got to work at something in my heart. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't always been easy. We've had some bumps at Southside. We've had some things happen these last few years. It ain't always been easy. I'm going to tell you this, it's been worth it. And I'm going to preach on the topic tonight on this right here, security in the shipwreck. You know, you can go through your Bible and there's all kinds of storms that pop up in life. And there's times the Lord Jesus was in the midst of that boat and he got up and he walked out there and he took that storm. He said, peace be still. Then there was a storm where, man, they was up there going and the Lord come walking on the water and Peter come to him and then they went back to the boat and then the storm stopped. But you know what? Right here, Brother Jonathan, the storm didn't stop. But I'm going to tell you what he did do. He didn't calm the sea, but he calmed the saint. And I want to tell you tonight, he ain't always going to calm the sea. It don't always mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. It don't always mean you're not going to wreck and break up. But I'm going to be honest with you. The more I study this, the more I think that shipwrecking was a blessing. I'm going to show you this in a minute. But let me give you this, security in shipwreck. How'd Paul get that? It's not even Paul's fault he's here. Can I say something to you tonight? It may not be your fault why you're in what you're in. And I'm going to give you something. You can sit there and dwell on it. Well, this ain't my fault. I didn't do nothing. But you're still in the middle of the storm. And you can sit on the bench and nobody's going to guard you. You're just going to go right on in the storm and be scared to death. Or you can just go get a hold of God and decide that no matter what, you're going to serve God anyway. And that God called you and he called you knowing what was going to happen. And that he called you to do whatever it is that God's got you doing and it's your job to do it anyway. And if we'd get our eyes off what everybody else is doing, just worry about us, it'd be better off anyway. Amen? So I want you to see something tonight. All introduction right here, but over in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, very familiar text. Bible says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. I'm going to give you something tonight. I believe that is the key to a lot of security and shipwreck that we miss. And you said, what do you mean wait? Well, see, that wait, if you'll look it up, it means to wait with hope. But the second meaning is this, to collect and to bind together. It carries the idea of a waitress waiting upon somebody. So here's what's being said. If times get hard and you get tired, here's how to get revival. You don't stop to catch your breath. You just go on. That's why the Bible goes. Look, notice what it said. He said, they shall renew the mount upon wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You run until you can't run no more. And you walk until you can't walk no more. And you drag yourself like an army crawl until you can't call no more. But you keep waiting upon the Lord. You keep serving God. And in that time is when renewed strength is going to come. If you give up, get over, you ain't never going to get it. Don't throw your towel in, friend. And I think about that for a minute, and I got to thinking about this boat. And I got thinking about Paul. 276 people on this boat. And Paul, only one got security. Everybody else panicking. Everybody else worrying. Everybody else don't know what to do. But friend, Paul knew what to do. I want to preach a while on this thought. Security in the shipwreck. Number one, boy, it's real elementary. You ready? There's security in prayer. Look at verse number 21. Matter of fact, look at verse 20. And when neither sun, let me just back up a minute. I take for granted sometimes we all know this. But now they're in this storm of Euroclodon. Now again, preacher, bear with me. I'm just a redneck, but I don't know all that what that means, but I know this. You don't name little storms. Somebody say amen. You name hurricanes. Amen. And they're in this storm, and here they go, and they've lost complete control of the boat. Somebody say amen. Winds blowing them everywhere. And in verse 20, that's what it says. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, notice this, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But then look at verse 21. One of the biggest words in the Bible, but. But I want you to hear me something tonight. Paul, Bible said, but after a long abstinence. I don't mean to get into all this. I'm going to give it to you. It's after a long abstinence. He didn't get his prayer answered right away. He didn't quit. He just kept on keeping on till God answered. And it said abstinence. He was fasting. Now that word means either fasting voluntarily or forced. Either way, he's forsaking the flesh to get a hold of God. He's praying. Listen to me. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there's hope and prayer. It don't matter what you... I don't know why I'm preaching this tonight. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know this. If you've got breath in your lungs, you can pray. And I'm going to be honest with you. Can't nobody stop you from praying. You say, but now, preacher, what if they hurt me? What if they hurt you? I mean, preacher, I'll be honest with you. They can cut your tongue out. They can't stop your heart calling out on God. They can't stop your mind praying to God. A Christian's prayer life cannot be hindered outside of yourself. It can't be stopped. And if you want to have a security in the midst of a shipwreck, listen, it's going to start with praying. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Now, pause, what that mean? I don't mean, brother, we're walking in arrogantly. That word boldly simply means this. I come bearing my heart completely to God. Let me help you. He knows what's bothering you anyway. You might as well just tell him about it. But then notice what it goes on to say, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I'd say in this time in Paul's life, he needed mercy, needed grace in a time of need. He needed help, friend. And you know what he did? He prayed. Now, I'm going to give you some thoughts right here. Again, we're not going deep, but I'm going to be honest. We just come through some stuff, and I've come through some stuff there, and it was probably one of the hardest spiritual struggles I've ever been in. And it seemed like, Brother Allen, my mind sometimes, I'd go to pray and I'd get down in my prayer place and I'd pray and I felt like it wasn't going no further than my lips and just falling on the ground. I really thought my walls was hearing it, but God wasn't hearing it. And I got really discouraged. And I would then start to pray. And in my mind, I couldn't stay focused. You ever been like that? I get just two or three things out. God, I wish you'd do this. And God, I wish you'd help with this. And God, I'm worried about this. And God, my people's hurting here. And God, I need this. And it just seemed like my mind just go away. I couldn't remember people's names. I really honestly thought I was going crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a promise in the Word of God that says God hears our prayer. It really don't matter how you feel about it. It really don't matter if you think God hears it or not. The facts of the Bible is simple. In 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, notice this, He heareth us. Not that He might heareth us. Not if He's having a good day, He'll hear us. Not if we've got everything right. No. Listen, you get sin out of your life because if you regard iniquity in your heart, God's what? Will not hear ye. But now what about this? What if I get all that out? But I just physically am so tore up. Boy, ain't you glad in old Romans over there in 8, when the Spirit of God makes his intercession, when I don't know what to pray, the Holy Ghost does. He gets the murmurings of the heart and gives those to God. And here's the trick. Listen, it don't matter if you think he heard you or not. He heard you. That's a promise. And can I tell you something, what I've had to learn over the last few months? That he just hears you. I have got up. Am I okay? I've got up out the chair sometimes, or I've got up out my prayer place, and I've got up and just took off. And I thought, you know what, brother? God ain't heard that. God ain't answering that. God ain't hearing me at all. I mean, it was as dry as cracker juice. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Just when I needed God to help me with a prayer, he was right on time. You know what I learned through that? He heard me. I'm going to tell you what I've started doing. I call you a lot once you pray for this. Brother, I call you a lot once you pray for this. There's some things I don't tell you about because I won't know God hears me. And there's every now and then, friend, when I'm struggling and I don't know what to do, it's just a simple prayer. I'm talking about having security in the shipwreck tonight when everything's going wild. Ain't you glad that you can go and get in the throne of God? You can go walk into the room of God. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm going to tell you what I'm trying to say. I believe in the priest of the believer. And bless God, I can walk right in the very throne of grace and sit down in front of my Heavenly Father and say, God, this is what's wrong. I need help. Oh, would you talk to me today? And God, whether I think he's heard me or not, he's heard me. You know, there's many times, I'm trying to get off this point, but I can't. There's many times, Brother Jonathan, little Grant, he'll say this, say, Daddy, whatever, Daddy. And he thinks I ain't heard him because I ain't answered him. That's good preaching. There's times he thinks I ain't heard him just because I ain't answered him. But I heard everything he said. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times, he just don't need to be talking. Somebody say amen. Is that all right? But the thing is, God's the same way. He hears you. And if you're going to have security in shipwreck, listen to me, friend. You're going to have to pray. Let me say you this. Not only did he have a prayer, but can I say this? There's security in my presence. Now, I want you to see these two are connected together. You're not going to have a presence, friend, until you have a prayer. I want you to see what he says there in verse 21, but after a long absence, you see that, right? Then look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Now notice this, he identifies him. Whose I am and whom I serve. Now I hope this don't break your theology. I believe that's the Lord. He's praying. He's in there going. Then notice what it says right here. After a long absence, he didn't quit. He just, old timers said they prayed through. He didn't quit, just prayed. And the next thing you know, there's God. Right in the presence of God. And I give you something, a side note, won't cost you nothing extra. Listen here. I think as many times we quit way too early. And as many times I think we get right to the point. And the devil convinces us, don't pray no more. Don't pray no more. Let me tell you what I know. I hope I'm okay tonight. I know I'm a little different. But listen, going through all this mess, everything was going on. There's a pond down behind my house. And I'm not a super big fisherman, but that's one place my wife don't like to fish. And my little boy sometimes, after about 5 minutes, if we ain't catching anything, and you don't catch a lot, he's ready to go. So it's one place I'm be by myself. And I remember walking down there, my mind's so messed up, Brother Jonathan. I couldn't even think. So I'd take me a little old whopper plopper and I'd throw it across that pond. I'd let that thing come. And then I'd say, God, I just need your help. God, I just need you. I wasn't caring about catching no fish. That's the only place I could get a hold of God. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you just let me worry about it, amen. And I just was doing me and I was just talking with God. And I'd done that several times. This message is born out of there was a time that God just said, all right, son, I'm going to give you something. And God showed up. And I know y'all too dignified, but I just had church right there beside the pond. Is that all right? I mean, me and God just had church right there. You know why? Because I've been praying. I've been seeking his face. And thank God he heard me. Listen, he wasn't answering my pastor's prayers for me. He was coming talking to me. It was a personal thing. And in the midst when I thought everything was going crazy and I couldn't control it and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how to lead a church. I didn't know how to help nobody through it. Thank God right in the middle of it, God shows up. I'm talking about he had a presence. You say, how did I get in that presence? Well, Matthew 7 tells you, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. Can I tell you something, friend? You can get in the presence of God if you'll just go looking for it. Bible tells us over in Hebrews, and I got it here, Hebrews 13:5. He said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. Can I tell you something that helps me? I know, listen, Brother Allen, I hope again I don't ruin nobody's theology right here, but and if I'm wrong, you rebuke me. But if I read my Bible right, Holy Ghost moved in me when I got saved. And then I was placed in Christ Jesus and sealed to the day of redemption. Can I tell you something? Not only is his faithfulness the reason he can't forsake me, brother, but I'm in him. I mean, everywhere he goes, I'm there. Amen. Is that right? But everywhere I go, he's there. Can I say something to you? Listen to me. The presence of God and the prayer of God got 2 points. It's the exact same. You may not always feel the presence of God. You may not always be able to see the presence of God. You may not be able to see what he's doing. But bless God by the Bible, by the Word of God. He's there, friend. He's right with you every step of the way. Oh, I know if you go down the shadow of death, he's there. If you go through a hard time, he's there. If your ship's about to flip over, if you're about to crash, thank God he is there, friend. He's there. You ain't got to, you know, that's what Job said. I say that. Job says, man, I go forward and back, and I look at my left hand, my right hand. I can't find him. Matter of fact, he said, I don't even perceive him. Thus being interpreted, I can't see any sign of him whatsoever. But then he said, but he knoweth the way I take. Let me tell you something, friend. You may be in the middle of the shipwreck. It may be going crazy. But I'm going to tell you something on the Bible, Bible authority. God knows where you're at. When he come walking on the sea, he had been up on that mountain praying. Is that right? And they was out there in that storm. It was throwing them everywhere. But it didn't surprise Jesus. He knew right how to get to them. Amen. He didn't need a map. He didn't need a garment. He didn't need somebody to tell him how to get there. Because God knows where you're at. God knows what's going on. And let me tell you something, friend. He'll show himself right on time, every time. Well, I'm going to tell you what I found out. That old song, man, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. I'm going to tell you this, right when you need him, you'll have a presence of God. I'm talking this morning, this evening, listen, a security in a prayer, a security in a presence, but I'm going to give you this right here, a security in a promise. Look at verse 24 and 25. Look at verse 23 for context so you don't think I'm lying to you. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whose I'm served. Now look at verse 24 saying, now who's talking? God talking. Is that right? Yeah. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that shall sail with thee. Wherefore be a good cheer. Paul said, I'm just going to be a good cheer. You know why? Because I got a promise from God. Can I say something to you? These two promises right here. Number one, is he said, Paul, I know the ship's bad. I know it's out of control. And I know y'all are fighting, trying your best to keep it afloat. But just cheer up, Paul. You got to get to Rome, honey. Paul, you've got to go in front of Caesar. You know what that means? That means from that point on, he can't die until he gets to Caesar. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? If that takes 6 months, 6 days, 6 years, Paul ain't dying till he gets to Caesar. You know what Paul does? Now, wait a minute. It's real deep. You ready? He just believes God. Walks out there and says, hey, boys, look up in here. Don't worry about it. Cheer up. Let's eat. Let's have a good time. We're getting where we need to go. Don't worry about it, all right? Listen, don't worry. He said, listen, don't worry. His ship's going to blow up, but that's all right. We're going to make it. It's going to be fine. We're getting there. I know it looks rough. I know it's real scary. I know the devil's raging. Yeah. Hey, man, can I help you tonight? In the middle of my mess, you know how many times I got told that the devil told me, son, you just need to quit. You just need to give up. You ain't going to make it. No, friend, look up in here. I got on that boat with a promise, and bless God, I'm riding that promise all the way home. Yes. I just give you some help tonight. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? I'm in the middle of a mess. I don't know where to turn. I'm going to give you some advice right here. You go find your prayer place. You pray until God shows up. And when God shows up, God will bring a promise. Amen. You say, how do I know? You take that word of God and you lay that thing out. And you say, God, I'm not getting up. And you speak to my heart and stand on my soul and secure me in this shipwreck. That's what you do. You say, he won't do it. Yes, he will. I'm going to tell you something, 2 Kings 2:13, Brother Allen. That's the verse that God gave me. Take Southside Baptist Church. You say, what's that got to do with anything? I'm going to tell you what's got to do with anything, Miss Kathy. When everything blew up in my face, you know what I just did? I got to a point. I just went back to my house. I put my Bible down. And this is my whole prayer. You ready to watch this? God, you said, and I got up and left. You said, I wouldn't do that. Well, you do it different, all right? But I'm going to tell you what I did. God, give me that right there. He gave me 2 Kings 2:13 to pastor a church. And as far as I care, until he gives me a nut, I'm right there pastoring that church. Somebody say amen. I ain't moving. Is that all right? Bless God. I feel like preaching now. Let the winds blow. It's well with my soul. Amen. I said I done got a hold of God. God done showed his presence. God done give me a verse. God done promised me. He said, son, just go on. Go on. Go on for God. You said, just get in the presence of God. Can I say to you tonight, listen, we got a promise, child of God. The Lord said this. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Pastor, can I help you? This church was here before you was here. And it's going to go on. Amen. Southside was there before I was there. And if I die and go, it's going to be fine. You know why? That's God's church. Amen. That's God's people. And I've got good news for you. I've got on the ship of Zion. The devil can rage. He can go. He may kill me today. But bless God, that's just a promotion. Somebody say amen. I'm going home. I got a promise. He can't prevail. You say, well, preacher, he can break a lot of things up. I have a hard time thinking the devil's going to break up anything if you get in the prayer closet. And you get in the presence of God. and you get a promise of God. Can I help you tonight? The devil's coming back, not the devil, the Lord's coming back, Revelation 19. And this is how big his fight's going to be. You ready? He's just going to speak it, have his mouth go with a sharp sword. Do you think he thinks he cares about one thing about the devil? Read Psalms 2, friend. The heathen's raging. God's up there laughing about it. Ain't one bit nervous. You say, my problem's too big. Oh, no, friend. Your God's bigger. I'm going to tell you something. We need to have some David faith. Never one time did David worry about the size of Goliath. Never one time. Saul did. Everybody else did. You'll never see David say anything about his size. He says everything about how big God is. Can I say something? You get to the presence of God. You pray. You get a promise from God. You're going to get some help. Can I give you a few more things? We'll be done. There's security in a planting. You say, what do you mean? Why don't you look in verse 41? Verse 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And notice this. And the fourth part stuck fast. Look here. And remained what? Unmovable. You say, preacher, where are you getting that? I'm glad you asked. See, brother, the Lord don't get us in storms or not use storms just because he wants to. God's a God of order. He's a God of purpose. There's always something there. Now, I want you to see something, can I? If you'll look around and look back in verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Did you see that? They lost control. They just was fighting all they could, but the wind got to be so much you couldn't do nothing about it. Now I want you to see something. Then he went down there in verse 39. Look at verse 39. Verse 39. And it was day. They knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek. Now, can I say something to you? In verse 26, God had already told Paul that there was going to be a certain island. Now, again, here's my big redneck stuff. Ready? If it's a certain island, it's a particular island. I don't know the name of that island yet. Paul don't know it yet. But God's done picked it out. He said, friend, there's a certain island over there. That's where you got to go. Now, John, they ain't got one bit of control. But he said, there's a certain island over there. That's where you're going to go. And then he says further than this. Not only did they get an island, but then they found a certain creek. I done some studying on that. This was a kind of a help to me. They say that those creeks in that place where those two seas meet, that the waves would hit and the rocks were so sharp that it would break down the sand into such fine particles that it would get just a really thick mud. But that only occurred where the two seas met and that creek was. Outside of that, they wasn't that type of mud. And they hit a certain creek. And if I read my Bible right, what did it say? That four parts stuck and remained what? So if they'd hit anywhere else, it wouldn't have been stuck and unmovable. Now, can I give you something else? You look up that word certain creek or creek in the Greek. Can I tell you what it means? It's floored me. Let me find it right here. But it means the middle part, the front part of the body between the arms, the bosom. Let that sink in a minute. Between the arms, the bosom. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Can I use an illustration? Can I? Brother Heath, will you bring cold up here to spare? Will you help me, brother? God, they've lost control of this thing. But God's told them, Paul, there's a certain island, and there's a certain creek. You stay right there. I'm going to come to you. Everybody can see. Come here, buddy. Colt's going to be my ship. And I want you to stand with your arms out just like this right here. Okay, like it. There's my creek. He's a good-looking creek, ain't he? Well, here's my ship. And it's blowing this little fella everywhere. And he's scared to death. You ever been out on a storm? Boy, storms are scary, ain't they, buddy? And he's scared to death. And that wind's blowing in like that right there. And see, he thinks he's lost control. He has no idea what's going on. But God's done got a certain island with a certain creek. And he don't know what's happening, but when he gets a little bit out of the way, the mighty hand of God just comes over here and does this. And the wind blows over here and he does this. And he drives him right into the arms of where he needed to be. Thank you. You say, what are you trying to say? Here's the purpose of the storm. It will bring you safely and secure right into the arms of God. But you know what's right here in your bosom? The heart. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, you know, James said this, it's kind of all joy. Why? Because when those trials, those temptations happen, it'll make you perfect. Now, that don't mean you're perfect, that means mature. In other words, this right here is what happens. It secures you closer to God and closer to God and closer to... Do you know why Paul could believe God so good for that? He done been stoned. Somebody say amen. He done been killed and God resurrected him, I think. Somebody say amen. Look up in here, friend. He done went through some stuff. And he already knew in this storm, if God said it, it was going to be just fine. You say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? God's trying to get you in the middle of your storm into the very heart of God to see how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he's going to help you. Listen to me, friend. This ship hitting the coast, that's what saved them. That was a blessing. They don't make them creeks like that on every island over there. It was a certain island, a certain creek, and God knew about it for the left out. You hear me preach? And that right there took them right into where God wanted them. Now, can I give you this? Knowing all that, I said that, there's a security in preserving. There's two crowds of people right here, I believe. You see that ship hits in verse 41. The hinder part was broken with violence of the waves. In other words, that front part was so steady, stuck, that when them waves hit the back, it just ripped it apart. Now, you think, boy, that sounds awful. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of my people's here, they're going to get mad at me, but it's just the truth. Some of that stuff we went through, I thought was real awful. But as I look back now and I see what God's doing, I'll be honest with you, some of that's ended up being a blessing. And you're saying, now, preacher, I don't know that I'd say all that. That's all right, I will. Because some of it ends up being a blessing. And I'm not trying to be rude, but some folks ain't there no more that was holding that back. I just didn't have a clue. And am I all right, Pastor? And they some folks holding back wasn't there no more. But it took the ship getting busted up. And I realized, wait a minute, that's one of the best things ever happened to my church. Since all that happened, 4 or 5 has been saved. Folks has come to join. You're going to say amen or on me right there, friend. I'm telling you, that helps me. Can I say something now? There's some folks in here, though. Look here in verse 43. But the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept him from the purpose, though they didn't want to kill him, and commanded that them that could swim should cast themselves first into the sea. There's two crowds right here. There's a swimming crowd and a not swimming crowd. And if I can give you some spiritual application tonight, there were some folks at our church that when it blew up, I never worried about. They swimmers. They were spiritually big enough that they could just realize it. And they didn't let one man, one person, one woman, whatever, they didn't realize one man's sin bother them because they weren't in it for them. They was in it for God. And they just hammered right on. Now, I want to help you just a minute. When your ship blows up, that's the kind of Christian you need to be. Can I be honest with you? It's men like Brother Allen. It's men like Sammy Allen. It's men like Stinnett Ballou that has paved the way. They have swim and swim and swim. You know why they swim? Because there was a crowd coming behind them that couldn't yet. And I want to be the crowd that don't get on the boards, but just gets on so them other folks can get on the boards. Now, this is just, again, redneck logic, okay? But if you're on a board, I can't get on that board. Somebody say amen. It don't work. That's why it's important that you allow the storms of God to drive you into the heart of God, that you might grow and be perfected, that you might be matured, that when it blows up, it don't really startle you. You just swim on to the shore. Because these folks come behind you, it can't. They can't because, one, they're just spiritually, they ain't grown there yet. I don't get nervous, but when I got saved, I told you last night, I got saved just so I didn't have to go to hell. That was it. I didn't know sanctification or justification or imputed righteousness. I didn't know none of that. I just didn't want to go to hell. Honestly, that's it. And I didn't know nothing. Nothing. I'll be honest with you, I'm finding out today I don't know a lot. Amen. I still know nothing. But as I matured in my Christianity, I figured out that I want to be a swimmer, not a board paddler. But it was men that went before us that allowed that to happen. Now, church, listen to me. Sometime in your life, it's going to happen. Ship's going to wreck. Ship's going to blow up. And see, Paul loved them other people. You know how I know? Because he had to pray for them because God said, I'm giving them to you too. Now, some folks ain't going to make it. They ain't mature enough, let me say this, or they're injured. Can I say something? When you get hurt, it's hard to swim. If you break your leg, boy, it's real tough to swim. If you break your arms, it's even harder to swim. And sometimes spiritually, people just spiritually get hurt. And their mind ain't right. And they just need a helping hand once in a while. They need a board to get there. But if that ship wouldn't have blew up, there wouldn't have been no boards. And if they wouldn't have mature enough Christians to swim on, there'd have been no boards. Listen to me tonight. They security when you realize you can be a swimmer. When you'll let the storm drive you to the creek and you realize, listen, the best thing of the day of your life is when you realize that God loves you and that God's taking care of you and that God answered your prayer. When you'll do that, that blowing up of the ship ain't that big a deal. Because, can I give you this? And I'm closing right here. Matter of fact, Mr. Tommy, if you'll come play, I'm going to hush quick. There's a purpose. There's a security and purpose. You say, what is that? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's serving. You know what you find Paul doing the entire story? He ain't at fault in this. He ain't done nothing but preach Jesus. You know what you find wrong with him doing? Praying for him, getting a hold of God for him, encouraging him, feeding him, praying for him. He's constantly serving. And then when the ship wrecks, you know what he does then? Picking up sticks, put them on a fire. And as he's doing that, a snake bits him. He just shakes it off, and he don't complain about it. He just goes on back to work. He's serving. See, there was folks watching Paul. I mean, I believe Luke wrote this book, did he not? Is that right? There's folks watching it. We're watching Paul. See what Paul is going to do. The purpose of letting the storm put you in the creek and get closer to God, that you'll come out wanting to serve. That you'll be persuaded that there is a reason for this. Pastor, it's Tuesday night and you want to have church? Yeah. He's persuaded there's a reason for it. Can I help you tonight? Be a swimmer. Get in there. And you need to understand something. The shipwreck is not opportunity to do anything else but to serve and give God the glory for what he'll do. It's an opportunity. So many times, I'm guilty of this. Everything blows up, I want to complain. I'll be honest, there's times I called Pastor and I said, Pastor, I just like to just complain. And he let me. Thank God he did. The truth of the matter is, you know what it was? It was an opportunity for Ryan Hayes to just to take a stand on the Bible and to go on by faith and do what God called me to do. You know what your shipwreck is? It's an opportunity. You know, I'm closing right here. In Mark 5 and verse 1, the Bible says this, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit. Now, I don't know, again, you just bear with me if this is wrong, you pray for me. But when chapter 4 of Mark ends right there, they're in a storm, the Lord's in the boat, he comes out, he says, peace be still. And this maniac, Gadara, he is up on that hill. Now I want you to read verse 1 right there again. Or verse 2 is it in Mark 5. It says, immediately there met him. Now again, I'm just country boy. But this is what immediately means. Jesus hit that boat. He stepped off that boat, and immediately that guy was there. Now what was it you think that made that guy see something and want to meet that guy on a boat that calmed that sea? It was what he done in his storm. And tonight, listen to me, if you'll be a swimmer, if you'll get security in the middle of the ship or the middle of the shipwreck, can I help you tonight? Family that's lost, family that you think's too far gone, they going to see how you really are. Because see, it's the shipwrecks that separate the men from the boys. Can I say it like that, preacher? If you remember when COVID hit in March 20, me and you had a conversation, this is what we said. This COVID is going to separate the men from the boys. Who really wants to go to church and who don't want to go to church. And it proved true, didn't it, preacher? There's an opportunity in every shipwreck to be a swimmer and not just lay up on the boards. But you're going to have to pray. Have to get to the presence of God. Get you a promise from God. And then just go on, let him plant you deep, deep, deep in his heart. And just trust him. Believe him. And when it's blowing up, listen, can I tell you something? Verse 23, verse 24, he got his promise, did he not? That promise never changed. It's still there. He got to Rome, did he not? Listen, you get the promise of God. It ain't going to change when the shipwreck blows up. It's still the promise. And all you got to do is pick up a Bible and say, Lord, this is what you said. I'm going to swim on. Tonight, listen to me. If you want security in the shipwreck, pray, presence, and man, get a promise from God, and then let him plant you deep in his heart, and you just trust him. Every head bowed and every eye closed.